Well, we are in week two of this collection of talks that we're calling Core. So last week, we talked about our first core value, which is being Christ-centered. At the core of the earth, the hottest part of all that exists is that power, white, hot, and burning. And so we use the analogy that that same power lives inside of us. I loved how Bill talked about that the hot part of the center of the earth is the same amount as the sun, and how we use that analogy that the sun on the outside is the same power living on the inside when we are Christ-centered. So now, week two, we're going to talk about another core value. We only have three of them, so if that helps you, like, get through this at all, there's only, like, one more core value and then our mission statement. It'll be great. So you're learning all about Village Heights and what we value most. And today, I wanted to actually talk a little bit about one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I feel like I probably say that a lot, that I have a lot of favorite stories in the Bible, because I do. But this one is one of my favorites because it's short. Like, there's not a whole, like, super long, like, book after book, you know, of this. It's really short, couple sentences. But man, is it multifaceted. This story has so many different avenues that you can go down and learn from that I love it. I love using it as an analogy for our life in so many different ways. And the story is the story of the woman at the well. So this was a Samaritan woman who was going, you know, to just get water, a simple act of getting water. And Jesus meets her and sees her and sits down next to her and talks to her. And what's so cool about this story is there was literally no reason for Jesus to sit down next to this woman, let alone have a conversation with her. She was a woman. She was a Samaritan. She had a very different lifestyle than what Jesus taught to be true. And so from the outside, looking in, you would say, why would Jesus even sit down next to her? But then what's so beautiful is the very next thing that Jesus does is he actually talks to this woman. And for the first time in Scripture, we read Jesus telling someone else, I'm the Messiah. I'm the guy, the one you've been waiting for, the one you've been praying for, the one you've been hoping for. That's me. I'm him. And so of all the people on the earth, the most likely of people, the most unlikely of person is who Jesus chooses to reveal himself to as the Messiah. And that's just so beautiful. That tells so many things about how Jesus loves us, that we can be the most unlikely of characters, and yet he, God of all, will reveal himself to us. So special. But that's not what I want to talk about today. What I actually want to talk about is what happens right after that. The very next thing that we read about in Scripture. And so this is in John chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 27. So we're like past what happened. He's like, I'm the Messiah. Cool. Next thing that happens, verse 27. Just then, the disciples came back. So it's just Jesus and the Samaritan woman sitting there. The disciples come back, and they're shocked to find him there. And Scripture says that they're saying to one another, who's going to ask? What do you want to do with her? Like, why are you talking to her? And they're all kind of nervous, and they're like, okay, let's nobody ask. So the woman, in verse 28, she leaves her jar, and she goes back to the village. And she's telling everybody what just happened. She's like, I just met the Messiah. You're not going to believe it. He knew everything about my life, and he talked to me anyway, and then he told me he was the Messiah. And then in verse 31, so while that's happening, like if we could see the movie, you know, this would be like the cut between the two things. So like she goes into the village and she's telling everyone, the Messiah, you got to come and see. Meanwhile, at the exact same time, this is what the disciples are doing. The disciples are urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did somebody bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Now, the disciples weren't wrong in this situation. They're actually being very loving and very kind. You know, they're looking at Jesus and going, we've been traveling a lot. You're clearly having some intense conversation with this woman. You've surely burnt some calories. Like, you need to eat something. Like, maybe sit down, take a break, have a glass of water. Get filled up. And Jesus's response is, I get filled up by doing the will of God. And the will of God is to do things for others. My life has value by adding value to those around me. So while the disciples were totally concerned with consuming, No matter how noble the cause, Jesus was concerned with giving it away. He was getting nourished by nourishing others. And so that's what we want to look at today. At Village Heights, we describe this as being community crafted because we believe that our lives have value when we add value to the lives of others, both individually and collectively as a church. We place value on all people that God sends our way, all people that are near to us in proximity, that God loves them just as much as he loves us. Scripture even tells us that while we were all still sinners, Christ died for all of us. So we get to add value by sharing that truth with one another. So we are filled up by pouring into others. But how do we know it works? Like, it's easy to look at Scripture and go, the guy just said he was the Messiah. Like, surely he gets something on a totally different level than what we do. So Jesus saying that he's nourished by doing the will of God, great. He's also Savior and Lord. But what does that look like for me? Like the gen pop of us all, what does that look like for us? How do we know it works? So this looks like an ordinary hammer, but I want to share a story with you about this hammer because while it may not be special to you, it is just a hammer, of course. It's special to me, and it's special to our family, because this hammer, when Hurricane Harvey hit, we were mucking and gutting several houses, and we went to a house and left some of our tools there on accident. And so the next day, we're going to another house to muck and gut, and if any of you did that at all, like, basically, you need a hammer and an X-Acto knife, and you're pretty set. You can do a lot of undamaged with that. So thankfully, us here in the Heights, we didn't flood nearly as much as the rest of the city. And so there were things still open here. So we stopped by Home Depot and we bought this hammer. And I love that Bill even put this green piece of tape. It was like, we're not going to lose our tools again. Ours can be spotted very easily. And many times this green tape has saved me for knowing that this is our hammer. So we picked this up and we went to another house and used it to muck and gut that house. And then another house and then another house. And at some point, we lost track of how many houses. So I'm a little bit grossed out that I keep touching it because there is no telling like what is on this hammer. It's gross. But then since then, sure, it's like hung some pictures in our house. Like this is, you know, the utility hammer that's always like in the junk drawer or like, where's the hammer? It's this one that we're always looking for. But more importantly, last year at our action group with Sunrise, the homeless shelter, this hammer did some undamaged to that place as well, worked a lot in the kitchen. And then more recently, this hammer is covered in a lot of Durabliss. It's been at Miss Davis's house, got left there a couple times, but it always came back home where it belonged. And we've used this hammer time and time again. What seems so ordinary to you, if you were at my house and you saw it in the junk drawer, you wouldn't realize what beautiful things have been accomplished with something so ordinary. What tremendous blessings have occurred because of this random tool that lives in Bill's tool bag. So a couple weeks into the project at Miss Davis's house, Bill had this in his travel tool bag, and he showed up, and there was someone else from Hope Disaster, one of the organizations we're partnering with for this action group. And he didn't know who Bill was. He had never met him. And so he didn't really know, he just seemed like another average volunteer, which he was. And so the gentleman that was there was kind of passing out jobs, and you do this and you do that. So Bill walks in, and this is sitting in the top of his tool bag. And the guy looks down and he sees it and he goes, oh, those tools look very used. You clearly know what you're doing. I'll just let you go. And so he lets Bill just go off and start working all by himself. And so Bill and I were talking about it later that night. I'm like, isn't that so funny that he didn't know who you were and he didn't know anything about our lives or that hammer, but he could tell that's been used. And he didn't know how many times this hammer had been used for something so special. But man, the things, like if this hammer could tell a story, the things this hammer has seen, seems so ordinary, but it's really not. It's really extraordinary. And then another ordinary thing is this rock that looks like every other rock. Sure, it's maybe a little different color, a little different shape, a little different texture, but this definitely looks like any of the other rocks that my two boys have picked up out of someone's flower bed along the way. If you live on our street, I'm very sorry that there are bald patches in your rock gardens. It is the fault of my children, I assure you. So this one just looks like any other rock. But what's really cool about this one in particular, let's see if I can do this again. I did it in first service, so chances are good. Here we go. This one is actually a geode. And so on the inside, it's beautiful. And there are all these amazing like crystals and colors. And I'm excited about it like from a design standpoint because geodes are totally having a moment right now. They're very, very popular in all the designs. So that's like the side note craziness. Okay, but this is beautiful on the inside. From the outside, you would never assume. Like you would never walk by this rock and go, I bet on the inside that would make some killer earrings. Like, come on now, let's be real. That's what we're going to do with it. You would never assume that that's what this is. So an ordinary hammer can draw the analogy to your ordinary life. Don't you think other people look at your life as being so ordinary? And they feel like just another rock in the garden, like they look like everybody else. But when you use your life for others, when you buy into that purpose that Christ has given you, you get to break open the ordinary and see the extraordinary and see the beauty, the life that is growing inside of others because you took the time to invest. You took the time to get your hands dirty. You took the time to do the tough work and see what God could break open in those around you. That's special. That's special. We are filled up by pouring into the lives of others. But that's not the only way that we're community crafted. Like it's easy to look at this hammer and think, oh, this church does a lot of like work projects. Sure. But there are a lot of ways to be community crafted. So we're about to start a new season of villages, which are our small groups. That's a phenomenal way to learn more about the community, to invest in the lives of others. Some of my favorite stories that I know about people at our church came from villages, from taking that time to dissect what we talk about on Sundays and dig into it a little bit deeper together and really get to the center, the core, the beauty inside of each other. That's special. Even on Sundays, we're community crafted. I realize that we hope for the day where Village Heights has its own building. And we joke about like, won't it be so great when we don't have to set up and tear down? Well, just yesterday I was talking to a friend and I said something like, one day the action group will be for our house, for Village Heights house. It'll be amazing. And his response was, yeah, but it's pretty cool that we get to set up and tear down every week. And I was like, you're right. I will see you at 7:30 tomorrow morning. We will be there together. It'll be awesome. But there is something about building, literally building something together with our own two hands, week in and week out. That's special. We learn so much about one another, and then we're literally creating a seat at the table for other people. You are here today in this space because someone intentionally created it for you. Somebody showed up and unloaded the trailer and hung these curtains and set this TV up and turned on these super cool LED lights and made coffee for you to invest in you. And even events. We have never wanted to be the church that's like, hey, we're open on Sundays, come and see us. We've always wanted to be about the neighborhood. And so the Heights Association, we do a lot of events with them, and we are their biggest cheerleaders, and we love supporting them and high-fiving them and celebrating all that they're doing. And so each year we go to the fun run at the beginning of June, and all we do, literally the only thing we do, is hand bottles of water to people and high-five them. Oh, and then we get to put some medals on kids that run. That's the best part. It's so cute. Oh, man, I love that part. But that's all we do. We're just at the finish line like literal cheerleaders. So that was in June. I think that was our fourth or fifth year to do that. Well, then now we're in September. And we have another event that we're planning for November that we need a little help with, that we need to partner with some other organizations. And so I knew of like a strategic person that I wanted to ask, but I didn't have a direct line to them for what I was wanting. But we had a mutual friend. And so I went to the friend and I was like, hey, can you connect me with this person? I think it'll help my ask be a little more powerful if you can kind of open the door. He's like, oh yeah, sure. So he goes to his friend and he's like, hey, this church is wanting to reach out to you. And she said, oh yeah, I know who they are. And so he's telling this story to me. And as soon as he said, oh yeah, I know who they are, I was like, oh God, what do we do? And then he followed up with, yeah, that's the church from the fun run with the cool shirts. And I was like, yes and yes, we are both of those things. And how cool is that? What seems like just high-fiving and passing out some water opened up a door that I would have never even predicted would be open in such a way. It allows us to have conversations that we would have never had before, that we can make the most unlikely of friendships with the most beautiful of people because we are other-focused instead of self-focused, because we care more about adding value to the lives of others and finding our own value in that. That's what it looks like. But how do we do it? Have you ever had that question? Like, okay, God, I know that this is what you're wanting me to do, but how? Like, sure, I can go and I can help at action groups. Sure, I can join a village. That's great. I can get involved in that discussion. I can go to the fun run and pass out water. I can do that. But like on a regular day when I'm at the office, or like when I'm at home and my kids are driving me nuts, or I'm at the grocery store, or I'm at school, when I'm doing all these like normal things, how do I be community crafted? How do I go about that? Well, this is what Paul says in the book of Romans in chapter 12. He says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. And then he ends this passage in verse 21 by saying, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Just do good. Just do good. Live in such a way that others can see you are honorable. Just make this, I always tell my 7-year-old, just make good choices. Just make good choices. Be a decent human. And then others, I promise you, it happens to me all the time, will say, why are you so nice? Why do you love me and you don't even know me? Why are you so kind? Why do you go out of your way? Because I find my value in adding value to the lives of others. And this afternoon, we'll get to see inside of Miss Davis. We'll get to see a little glimpse of the beauty that we've got to be a part of. We'll get to see what God is doing. And let me assure you, we've never left an action group without having amazing, new, beautiful, phenomenal relationships with people. That's just how God works. Like, yes, we're building a house, but also these extra things are happening. Like, while this will be a beautiful moment for Miss Davis, and she'll get to see all the hard work, and she'll get to be excited about moving back into her house, that's not the only thing that's come from this action group. I personally have got to pray with members of her family about huge stuff. I mean, huge stuff that's like, I just can't even imagine how they aren't like breaking down, just talking about the things that are going on in their lives. And I've already seen miracles. God answer prayer in their lives. And it would have never happened apart from this action group. I would have never, and we don't even live in the same part of town. It's not like I would have ran past them at the grocery store and got to know them. Like, we would have never crossed paths if not for God's intentionality, if not for us saying yes to the door that God opened and then just seeing what he did once we walked through it. That's special. That's cool. And we get to be a part of it. So maybe you want to experience this life. You want to experience what it feels like to be community crafted. You're like, yeah, cool. How do action groups are over now, so how do I do it? Like, how do I be a part of it? Well, Tanner, our staff pastor, like a little bit more beard than Bill. He'll be up here later. You'll see him. You'll know. You can pick him out of a crowd. He like reeks of hipster. That one. When you walk out, say, hey, what can I do today? Put me to work today. I want to serve the community right now. And he'll give you a job right now. Easy as that. Or next Sunday, we're going to start signing up for villages. We're going to open up the signups, tell you where they all are, let you know who's leading them, where they're going to be. Be the first name on the list. I'm telling you, don't miss villages. Man, they are special. They are fun. If you want to know my favorite one, there's one at my house that's pretty cool. I'm just saying, you're welcome to come to that one or one of the other ones. They're fine too. But you can come to the one at my house. Or even today, come to 530 Spell Street. I'm telling you, even if you've never, this is your first Sunday at Village Heights, you're not even sure if you like us yet. That's fine. You don't have to like us. Just come to Miss Davis's house and see. Just see how special and amazing it is. Experience the grandeur of loving somebody else for no other reason than because God loved you. Because that's literally why we did it. God loved us so much that we just didn't have enough capacity to hold it all. So we just spilt it all out and loved Miss Davis. And man, has it been amazing. But before we can do any of that, there's one thing that's just so, so special that Jesus actually tells us to do in community. Something that we get to reserve just for us, just for the family, just in this setting. And it's actually talked about a couple different times in a couple different ways in Scripture. And so I want to read two different instances to you. In Matthew, he writes in chapter 26, and he was there, and so he's kind of retelling the story of what happened. As they were eating, they being him and his posse, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it and gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant, the promise between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Time and time again throughout Scripture, Jesus talks about his life being poured out for others. And communion is a way to honor the covenant, the promise that Jesus didn't die in vain. He died for you. He died for me. While we were still sinners, Christ shed his blood. And so we acknowledge that and celebrate that and honor that in communion. But this is actually what Paul says about it. He adds a little extra layer to it that I just love so much. So Paul is writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And he gets a word from the Lord. And he's writing in this letter saying, this is what God told me about the Last Supper. This is what he said its intentions were and how it was meant to be done. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Do this. Every instance in Scripture where we read about communion, there is one unifying thread throughout. It is not Christ and one person. It is Christ and his disciples. Christ chose for us to remember his death, to remember the sacrifice that he made for us in a group, in community. Not just random people, but a community of his closest followers. The people on earth who loved him and cherished him the most, those were the people he wanted to be with. Those were the people that he wanted to teach about what was about to happen, how to move on from what was about to happen. Do this in remembrance of me. So yes, we have bread and we have wine. This church is non-alcoholic. It just varies from church to church. But nonetheless, elements of communion. Yes, that is part of it. But I think even more so, it's this. It's not just the elements. It's the elements in community. That it's the elements together. Because you see, there are days that life is awesome. And you're like firing on all cylinders. You don't need nobody. You got it going on. And then the very next day, life is horrible. And it's all falling apart. And you don't know what you're doing. And you don't even know if anybody else knows what you're doing. That's why we have community. That's why we invest in one another. It's because there are seasons in life when you just need another human to hug you. You just need another human to tell you you're not crazy. You might be, but you might be the same brand of crazy. And so there's solidarity in your crazy, and that's awesome. But more so than anything, you are forgiven and set free by a power so magnificent, it's truly indescribable. And so we celebrate that because the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that lives inside of you. Scripture tells us that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you are set free. And so how could we not throw a party every second of every day to celebrate that fact? That's what communion is. It's a moment of intimate reflection with the people who think the same way you do, kind of, and who feel the same way you do, kind of, and are on the same journey that you are, kind of, but we know that we need each other, but more than anything, we need Christ, and that's why we take communion. So the only prerequisite to partaking of the elements is just Jesus. Do you believe he is who he says he is? Do you believe that the Messiah sat down next to the most unlikely of characters and changed her life forever and still is doing that today in me, the most unlikely of people? In you, the most unlikely of people. I'm a hot mess, but man, Jesus saves me all the time, constantly being renewed by the power that lives inside of me. That's it. That's the prerequisite. So if this is your first Sunday, cool. Do you believe it? Awesome. So I'm gonna pray, and then you're welcome to just come down the center aisle, grab the elements, and go back that way, and then take it right there, take it at your seat. Jenny's gonna sing a song, and you can sing with her, but it's really a moment for each of us to reflect inwardly, collectively. It's a moment for each of us to remember Christ and what he did and what he is still doing in each one of us, and then brought us together. That power is in us, but also uniting us to do even greater things than what we could ever do on our own. So let's pray, and then Bill and Tanner will serve each one of us. Lord, we are just amazed and astounded at who you are and what you do in us and through us. The intentionality and the creativity that you used to draw us closer to you. There are truly no words to describe our gratitude, God. So as we partake of these elements, first and foremost, thank you for what this represents, for the freedom that we find in your death, burial, and resurrection. God, we know that none of that was by accident, that it was all on purpose, with us in mind every step of the way. So thank you for setting us free. Thank you for forgiving our sins. And thank you for letting your power live inside of us, changing us so that we can be a reflection of you. God, in this moment, thank you for these people and this place and this time where we could encourage one another, lean into one another, be together in remembrance of you. So God, there is truly nothing to say more than thank you. We love you. Amen.